choke out the last word. My father, my hero and role model, was dead. A plane ticket was on my dining room table, a grim reminder of challenges distance created in life. I was supposed to fly home Friday and spend the weekend with the family, and most importantly, see Dad before he slipped away for good. Now I'd never be able to speak to my father again.
He took a sudden turn around 11 and passed about a half hour ago. I'm sorry, Allie.
Luke sucked in a long breath.
He asked about you this morning. Wanted to know if you'd sold any books recently.
Even through the tears, I laughed. My father had been a literary agent. Over the course of 35 years, he'd represented hundreds of authors and sold thousands of books, a good number of which had become bestsellers. He'd instilled in me my love of all things bookish and hugged me when I told him I wanted to follow his footsteps into the wild world of book publishing. Since then, we'd joked about who sold more books, got their authors bigger advances, or found the next Stephen King or Janet Ivanovich. I'd spoken with Dad a day and a half ago. He'd promised me he was okay, that he had a book he wanted to finish editing. As recently as 12 hours ago, Mom had texted to let me know he was weak but stable with good vital signs. And now he was gone.
Hey, Allie, you still there?
Yeah. I wiped the tears from my face. I'll get a flight this morning. Should be in Rushing Creek by late afternoon. Give Mom and Rachel a hug for me. Love you guys.
Love you too, Allie. It'll be good to have you home again.
As I set the phone down, I grabbed the tissue box stationed on the nightstand and wiped away more tears. It had been there for weeks, standing at the ready for the moment it was needed. I was nothing if not prepared. A sleepy-eyed Ursula got up from her spot at the end of the bed and stretched. After a few licks to make sure her tortoiseshell coat was perfect, she padded up to me and bumped my hand with her head. I scratched her ears while I used my phone to search for a flight. Sure, I could have fetched my laptop, but my little girl's purring, which rivaled the decibel level of a car without a muffler, was a soothing tonic for my shattered heart. From the moment of Dad's cancer diagnosis, I accepted he was going to die sooner rather than later. Pancreatic cancer was a devil of a diagnosis, after all. But he sounded fine when we'd Skyped on Sunday and had gotten excited when I told him I'd be home Friday night. Yet here I was, in the middle of Tuesday night, or was it Wednesday morning, booking a flight home for his funeral. There were always happy endings in the romance novels I sold, but there sure weren't any in my life. By the time I was in the air, with Ursula snug in her Sherpa kitty carrier underneath the seat in front of me, I'd gotten my emotions under enough control to have a good talk with my boss, Natalie. She and Dad had known each other for years. In a gesture that blew me away, she told me to take the next 10 days off. That was way more than the measly 3 days the employee handbook said employees could take off for the death of a parent. Though admittedly, the only reason I knew that was because I'd edited it for grammar in my early days working at her literary agency. Not the most exciting task, but it was another step along the path toward my goal of owning my own literary agency, just like Dad had owned his. You could say I was Daddy's little girl and you'd get no argument from me. I remember one time when I was little, Rachel blew her stack at me over something trivial and called me Little Walterette. It was meant as an insult, but I responded by saying thanks and running off to tell Dad that Rachel thought I was just like him. Contrary to popular opinion among the locals, I didn't hate my hometown of Rushing Creek, Indiana, population 3,216.